All right, talk about spider mites in the West and primarily California. That's where I'm from, and I'll throw in a little bit of information about how we manage spider mites in California. Spider mites are one of our key cotton pests in the San Joaquin Valley. Some years we have very significant yield losses, as you can see there, up to about 7% was estimated. And basically, if you don't control spider mites, yield losses can be up to 50%. So certainly it's one of our key pests that we have to deal with every year and basically every field. This shows the estimated losses from cotton insects and mites. And you can see 1990, we had about 7% yield loss just due to spider mites. And that's in spite of management actions that were taken, still about 7% yield loss. You can see in the 2000s, we're down around 2% is a common number that occurs. That is with about one miticide application per field on the average, half to one and a half, so about one on the average, spending somewhere around $30 on the average per acre. We have three species that are important in California: two-spotted spider mite, strawberry spider mite, and Pacific spider mite. They have some differences in their biology, some differences in how they infest the cotton, differences in the damage that they cause to the cotton. But for all intents and purposes, we consider them spider mites. We lump them all together. Management decisions really don't rely on what species. Probably it should, but we just lump them all together. They look very similar externally, as you can see there. Really, the only way to tell them apart is males, and you have to look at the ediagus. You have to look at the male organ. And that's certainly not something that's very easy to do. It's something that you're not going to do commonly. But the shape of the male organ is different, as you can see there. Getting males is difficult. For every 99 females you'll collect out in the field, you'll get one male. So it's not easy to get males. And then it's certainly not easy to do this little operation on them to pull out the organ. So it's a difficult thing to look at the species. Just in summary, our management in California relies on these points. We try to get a healthy, vigorous, well-watered crop. We monitor the pest, and I'll go into a little bit more detail on each of these areas. We use thresholds. We try to use an integrated approach. That would be cultural controls, insecticides, biological control. If we use acaricides, miticides, we try to use the best application we can use, good gallonage, good coverage, proper timing. We alternate classes of chemistry amongst the different miticides and try to protect the beneficials that we have. Well, why don't we just control them with the acaricides? Why don't we just spray and then spray again and spray again? Well, spider mites build resistance very rapidly and very significantly. And this just shows worldwide. You can see two-spotted spider mite is really one of the kings in terms of building resistance. Get down to California and what we see in terms of resistance. We have resistance to two of the common miticides that we've had for a number of years, comite and kelthane. These are products that we've used since the 80s, and we basically had resistance since we started using those products. Fortunately, in the last few years, we've worked some new chemistries into our management strategy, and this has helped to lessen the severity of the resistance quite a bit. But we do have resistance to comite and kelthane. The resistance is most severe in areas where we have perennial crops, grapes, almonds. These same products are used on those crops. By the time we try to use them in cotton, the mites are already resistant. That's in two-spotted spider mite. There's really no known resistance in one of the other species, strawberry spider mite. This resistance in two-spot is what we call unstable. So it basically resets during the winter, so it develops during the growing season, come back the next year, in the next spring, the mites again are susceptible. So during the winter, they lose this resistance. So it's not something that's there permanently. We had a blip, I'll call it, of resistance to one of our other commonly used products, Zephyr Abamectin, in the late 1990s. And we really haven't seen that since. Just that one year we had some resistance, and it was documented, and I'll show you the data here in a minute, but we haven't seen that since. And the other products shown there in the slide are some new products, at least four of them that have come on the market here recently. And at this point, we don't really have any known resistance to any of these products in that list. The last resistance monitoring we really did with spider mites is actually 10 years ago now. Dr. Beth Grafton Cardwell did it. And this shows the percent resistant populations, so resistant populations from fields, different fields, to Kelthane, Comite, and Zephyr. And you can see in June of 1998, there's a fairly low level of resistance. 10% of the fields had resistant mites. You move to July to September, that resistance level is a lot higher. The selection pressure has been exerted in the mites by using these products. And you can see this is a year where we had the resistance to Zephyr there in the green bar. The next year, June 1999, the mites are totally susceptible. So they lose that resistance during the winter. And as we use products and sample the mites again in August, September, October, we see a fairly high level of resistance. So it's something that goes away during the winter, develops during the growing season. What acaricides do we use in California on cotton? This shows 2002, the products that were used, acres treated, Comite, Kelthane, Zephyr. And then the blue bars would be 2007, the last year's, the year that I have data for. Acres treated, you can see we still use Zephyr, it's still our top used product, but Zeal, Oberon, and Fujimite are the new products now that are coming into the marketplace. Bit of Kelthane still used, and just a little bit of Comite is used still. Spider mites can infest cotton during any part in the growing season. We'll commonly see spider mites when the cotton emerges on the seedling stage cotton. Those populations usually do not develop because thrips, western flower thrips in our case, will come in and feed on the spider mite eggs, and they'll annihilate those early season populations. So we'll get populations on seedling cotton, but we don't get too excited about those because those populations will crash and they won't establish. As we move later in the season, July, June, July, early August, the mites will develop and populations will flourish. Why? We have hot, dry conditions, perfect for spider mite development, reproduction. We're also using broad spectrum insecticides to control other pests like Vigus bugs. And that's really the ideal situation for spider mites. We don't have populations of western flower thrips during June and July because they don't flourish in our hot weather. So this is really the ideal condition for spider mites. Growers will try to control spider mites. What they say before the first irrigation, and that's about the stage of the cotton is at that time, or a little bit later before the second irrigation, a little bit bigger cotton, and certainly they'll have the mites under control by lay-by. They don't want to be dealing with spider mites on cotton of that size in the bottom picture. If they don't, this is a situation that happens. It's pretty severe damage that you're probably familiar with. Our sampling plan is a presence-absence sampling plan. So we sample the fifth main stem node leaf from the top of the plant, and we use presence-absence, so you use turnover leaf. Does it have mites? Does it not have mites? You don't have to count them. You can't count them. They're so small. And if somewhere between 30 and 50% of the leaves have any spider mites, any living spider mites, then we'd recommend a treatment. This number is sort of a sliding scale. When we had Comite and Kelthane and they were starting to fail a little bit, we were down about 20%. We just didn't have the ammunition to take out ongoing infestations. As we've gotten some newer products and some better products, I think this scale is sliding up now more into the 40 or 50% range. We have products now that we're confident can take out the infestations. We sample 40 plants in 4 areas of the field. And again, we try to have the mites under control by lay-by. We like to use ground application, try to get good coverage. If you have cotton that's up to your chest, and you're in there trying to put on insecticides by air, it's a tough situation. It's hard to get them under control. Just one efficacy slide on some of the products that we use. This shows really all the commonly registered products that we have. And I just show one slide of data. And just make a couple points on this. If you look here, this is basically weekly samples. And here in the untreated, on the 29th of June is when we treated. You can see we had about 10 mites per leaf. And one point I'll make is how fast populations build up. The next week, we went from 10 up to about, 50 mites per leaf. Then 2 weeks later, we were up to about 100 mites per leaf. So populations can build up very fast. Another point I'll make is that if you look at the red bars there, that's 1 week after application, you can see with most of the products, basically we have the very similar population in the treatments as we do in the untreated. The untreated was about 50 mites per leaf. Our top used product, Zephyr, the second set of bars there, is about 45 mites per leaf. So if you're expecting to apply a caricide and get quick control, you know, we're used to controlling aphids, we're used to controlling plant bugs. You treat, and you want to come back in 3 days later and say, did I kill them or did I not kill them? With these products and with spider mites, I come back 2 weeks later. You know, Zephyr takes really that long, in our system at least, to bring the mites under control. It'll take a couple weeks. If you look at the product that gave us the quickest knockdown, that was Oberon at 16 ounces, the top label rate, and that's really the only product at 7 days after treatment that really knocked the population down quite dramatically. This next slide shows same data, percent control. And again, you can see if you're looking for something that gives 80% control, 90% control at a week after application, there's nothing up there. If you look at the light blue bars, that's the 3 weeks after application. Most of those is in the 80% range, but it takes a while to reach that level of control. And just to average the whole test in terms of percent control, the top product in this test was Oberon, and it gave us about 75% control for the 16-ounce rate. So that's sort of what we get. In terms of yield and what the cotton looked like after these treatments, this is Zephyr. See a little bit of damage, a few red spots, but overall pretty good control. You probably can guess this is untreated. Does it look too good? This is Oberon at the 12-ounce rate. Looks very good. In terms of yield in this test, yield results in terms of pounds lint per acre. You can see the untreated was lowest and about 400 pounds loss compared to the highest yielding treatment compared with the untreated. So the only thing we did was one caricide application, $35 per acre, and we got a 400 pound lint yield increase. So I think that pays for itself, I believe. Right now, in terms of resistance management, we feel we're in good shape. We have these 8 products available and registered. They all have different modes of action on the far right-hand column. I don't know what all these mean, but they're all different effects on the mites and different modes of action. So that's going to help a lot in terms of resistance management. One of the things we've been working on is how to integrate these various products into our mite management system. You know, what is the window of application that's best for these different products? When we had Comite and Zephyr and Kelthane, we had different windows worked out for those products. Kelthane was best early season. Comite was best late season. Zephyr was sort of a multi-purpose product, a very great response to early season low rate, late season higher rate. With these newer products, Fujimite, Oberon, and Zeal, we're really still trying to work out what is the best windows for these various products. What about other products? There are a number of insecticides that have mites on the label. Bifenthrin, Capture being one trade name, Dibrome, Dimethoate, Lorazepam, others. Do we use those? No. California, if you're really trying to control spider mites, we would not consider using any of those products. They just don't cut it in our system. Might be effective in other places, but with our mites just pretty much laugh at these products, and they don't control them at all. So just to summarize, I think we have we're in really good shape right now in terms of mite management with the new products that have come on board. We have some effective products. They're fairly safe to beneficials. We have alternative modes of action, good resistance management scheme right now. We also have started growing a lot of Pima cotton, and spider mites aren't nearly as severe of a problem on Pima cotton as they are upland cotton. So that's helped a lot. On the downside, our caricides tend to be fairly expensive. You have to spend $35 at the blink of an eye for some of these products. And it also requires action. Is that something that you can just say, well, the mites aren't going to be here, I'm not going to have to worry about them this year? You have to worry about the mites every year. You have to sample, and you have to apply the materials at the proper time. Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble. So that's just sort of a summary of the mite management in California. And turn back over to Gus or answer a question now, whatever you want me to do.